If you would, please, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you so very much for your grace, your mercy, your kindness. Thank you so very much for Resurrection Sunday, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, where would we be but Jesus? Lord, I just thank you for this day and thank you for this time. I ask that you'll give us the words, the understanding, the wisdom, the knowledge that we can preach this word, that minds will be challenged, hearts will be encouraged, and souls will be saved. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. Okay. Good morning still. Depending on where you're at in Texas, it's still good morning. If you would, please turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. And today we're going to be dealing with the issue of the resurrection. That whole thing about the resurrection, as you'll see when we get through our message, it is crucial. It is indispensable. It is undeniable. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and in the King James Bible, we're going to read from verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to start with 11 through 22. Verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to read verses 11 through 22. And it reads, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." Verses 11 through 22, and it reads, "Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Verse 15, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins, then you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen. And before I start in on this, I want to make sure that everybody, when I was doing my comments, I don't know if I misspoke, but I want to make sure you understand. Samaritan Purse teaches traditional marriage according to Scripture. That's what they were getting in trouble for. They teach traditional marriage, man and wife, husband and wife, as we do here at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Okay. The resurrection, let's call this today, say the resurrection is the key to the Christian faith. Title, the resurrection is the key to the Christian faith. Let me talk to you for a few minutes here. Okay, If you go to your local ice cream parlor and you say to the man at the local ice cream parlor, I want a banana split. And he brings you some ice cream with no bananas in it. And you look at him and you say, but I want a banana split. And he says, this is a banana split. And you say, I want a banana. He says, this is a banana split. Well, so, okay, I don't want that. I want strawberry shortcake. He goes away. He comes back. He brings you back a dish. And you say, but there's no strawberries on it. And he said, well, this is strawberry shortcake. It's just a new kind of strawberry shortcake. And you say, how are you going to give me banana split without bananas? And you're going to give me strawberry shortcake without strawberries? That's like trying to tell somebody about Resurrection Sunday without a resurrection. Without a death, burial, and resurrection, how do you have Easter? How do you have Resurrection Sunday? How do you have Christianity? Y'all, this is not a foreign thought. I'm here to tell you that this is more prevalent in the Church of Jesus Christ than you would ever imagine. There are many people who profess to be Christians and they name the name of Christ and they think that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is optional. And it's spreading. It is spreading. Because right now, what people, I'm kind of nervous that many of the churches of Jesus Christ are beginning to proclaim a Christless Christianity. A Christless Christianity. Well, preacher, what does a Christless Christianity look like? I'm glad you asked that. A Christless Christianity, well, one of the reasons why they give you a Christless Christianity is because science, so-called, says that nobody can be dead for 3 days and get up. Nobody can do that. That's what the science tells you. And many in the church, the professing church, are beginning to question, well, maybe it's too harsh to tell people that the only way you can be saved is by believing on the name of Jesus Christ. So they start preaching a do-good Christianity. I'm going to do a lot of good things. I'm going to help people. I'm going to feed people. I'm going to do charitable things. I'm going to mow lawns. I'm going to, but bear with me. They're going to start teaching, all you need is love. That's all you need. Da-da-da-da. All you need is love. Everybody's saying. They're preaching that, y'all. They're preaching things like pay it forward. Oh, preacher, now you're stepping on my toes. Pay it forward. Why do I pay it forward? So I can show people how nice a guy I am? I'm not. If I pay it forward, I want to make sure you want to know it's because I did it in the name of Jesus. If I do anything that's good, that's perceived as good and righteous, I want you to know that I'm doing it in the name of Jesus. I don't want you to look at me. I want you to look at my Savior. I want you to see the one who took the wretch and turned him into a new man and finally getting some use out of him. But when I preach a Christless Christianity, that's not necessary to preach my Savior. I just do good. I do community stuff. We have a radio program, and I told Brother Eddie, I said, don't you know we are community activists? And he said, what do you mean community activists? Because that has a bad connotation with my friend here. He really does. But I said, no. We're community activists in the right way. See, because the best thing I can do for my community and the best thing you can do for your community is tell them about Jesus. You tell them about Jesus. And that will get you some community activism. So today, today. We're not going to tell you how wonderful we are. We're going to tell you how good our God is. And we're going to talk about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because the resurrection, as a title I'm going to use, the resurrection is the key to the Christian faith. The resurrection is the key to the Christian faith. We're going to talk about the resurrection and the victory proclaimed. We're going to talk about the resurrection compromised. We're going to talk about the resurrection denied. And then we're going to repeat ourselves with the resurrection victory proclaimed. Amen. The resurrection, victory proclaimed, verses 1 through 6, and then we jump down to 11. Verses 1 through 6, and then we jump down to 11 in the King James Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it reads, because we want you to know, this encapsulated in these first six verses is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is it in a nutshell. This is the only place you find it a little bit more concise is in John 3:16, but this gives you a little bit more explanation in John 3:16 about what the gospel message says, what the truth of the Bible says. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. The word gospel means good news. If what the man is preaching and if what the man is teaching ain't good news, it ain't the gospel. Moreover unto you, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. All these things have to be done according to the Bible. Verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Now we go up to verse 11. Therefore, brethren, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believe. Stop for a minute. You keep hearing this word preach, preach, preach. You didn't hear negotiate. You didn't hear build a bridge. You didn't hear tiptoe up. You heard preach. A preacher is a herald. Our job is to herald. If your house is on fire, you want the policeman coming up or the fireman. Pardon me. Or would you rather he come kicking down your door, busting out your window, saying your house is on fire, you need to get out of here. That's what a preacher does, y'all. That's what a preacher does. And whenever he gets away from being a herald, he's not doing what God has called him to do. God has called us to stand up and say what thus saith the Lord, not my opinion, not your opinion, not the coochie-coochie you, but to tell you what thus saith the Lord. And when he preaches the word, it's a non-compromising preaching. When he preaches the word, it's in your face. Look at the prophets of God. Look at the preachers of old. Do you realize that right now, there is such a big run in the Baptist church to take the name Baptist off the sign of the church. They want to take the name Baptist off the sign of the church. You know why? You know what they tell me? This has been going on for about 15, 20 years. You know what they tell me? Glad you asked. Well, you know, when people see that word Baptist, they think about fire and brimstone preachers. And we that's just so old-fashioned. We just, you know, that's so offensive. It's so offensive. The Bible says that the preaching of the gospel is offense to those who perish. The Bible says, look, y'all, they killed Paul. They killed Peter. They killed James. Why? Because they preached what Jesus preached. And we know, since this is Resurrection Sunday, we know that Jesus, I got news for you. Wait, stop the
presses. Stop the presses. Jesus did not get along with everybody. I know that's a newsflash for you. Some people hated our Savior. And you know why they hated our Savior? Because he said, you are lost in your sins, and there's only one way out. And my Father sent me to get you. I came to seek and to save that which is lost. And he preached the word. He preached the word. Resurrection. When he talked, the word resurrection, it means to stand upright. It means to stand up as someone who was alive and they were laid down, they died. And it means to stand upright. When we read this passage, Paul is saying, the Apostle Paul wrote this passage. He said in verse 1, you receive this message wherein ye stand. That means you don't change anything in this message to make it more palatable to anybody. Because if you make it more palatable to mankind, you make it less acceptable to God. And I hope, my prayer is, that there is a healthy fear of God inside of the church of Jesus Christ. Verse 2, he says, by which this gospel message, and I told you this word gospel means good news. It literally means good news. He said, wherein, verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory. Now that verse, that really messes up a lot of people to say, if, does that mean that, does that mean I might lose my salvation? Does that mean that if I believed on the name of Jesus Christ and then I had a period where my faith got weak, does that mean that I might lose my salvation? Didn't I tell you that this is the gospel, the good news? That ain't good news. The thought that we could impugn God's integrity by telling him after he saved me, I could be lost. Because that's what you're doing when you say somebody can lose their salvation. I want you to turn your Bibles to Jude, that little tiny book of Jude. Jude chapter 1. If anybody tells you to go to Jude chapter 2, run. Jude chapter 1, verse 24. And it reads, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You see, folks, whenever we talk about somebody losing their salvation, you're impugning the integrity of the one that the scripture says is able to keep you. I'm a child of the King. And if you want to get a good example of it, is he still keeping Israel? Yes, he's keeping Israel. From the day he Abraham, he said, Abraham, you're going to be my folks. You are the chosen. They went up, they went down. They went up, they went down. But even today, the people that you see in the land called Israel today, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God's still keeping them. Even in the rebellion of some, but many, many have come to faith in Jesus Christ as the ones who wrote the Gospels. The Apostle Paul, he said, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, circumcised on the eighth day, born of the tribe of Benjamin. So Jewish people have always, many have always come to faith because the gospel message is what? To the Jew first, and then to the Gentiles as well. So here we have the resurrection victory proclaimed. And he's telling you that everything is done according to scriptures. He says here in verse 4, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to scriptures. Let's talk about this resurrection. Let's talk about this resurrection. How important is the resurrection? How indispensable is this teaching of the resurrection? Why can we not,
Come on, preacher. Come on, man. Why can't we just go along and get along? I mean, this is America. This is America. Can't somebody just, you know, I'm going to preach a Christian faith without Christ and without the resurrection. And you can do that because this is America. But let's see why the resurrection is so critical. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. And it reads, talking about Jesus and the resurrection. I'll start with 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That's one of those church words, justification. Justification. Think of it as acquittal. Think of it as you did a crime. You did the crime. And you're sitting there and you're looking at a heavy sentence. You're in front of the judge and you're looking at doing a heavy, heavy sentence. And the judge is just getting ready to drop the gavel. And a businessman that knew your parents and knew you when you're a kid and you had worked for him when you were a child, and the judge is just getting ready to bring down the hammer, and he steps up, he says, sir, he said, I know this boy. I know his mama. I know his daddy. Just give him another chance. Can you let him go? Now, you're guilty. You're guilty. But the judge knows the reputation of this man. He knows the reputation of this citizen and what all he's contributed to society. And because of that man, he acquits you of your wrongdoing. We're standing in front of a righteous God. We are sinners. And the Bible tells us that we are naked before the Lord. There's no secrets before God. Man, sometimes I sure wish there was, but there's no secrets from God. And the Bible tells us that we were born in sin and we were shapen in iniquity. And the Bible tells us clearly that none but the righteous can go to heaven. And God, here God is, and he ready to drop the hammer down on you because we deserve death. We deserve hell. And his son, who he knows very well, steps in to the courtroom, and he says, Father, did y'all see what he did on the cross? Did y'all see what my Jesus did on the cross? For the people who crucified him, for the people who nailed him to the cross, nailed his hands, nailed his feet, these people, do you know what kind of punishment these people were facing? Do you know what kind of eternity they were facing? And the Son stood between the Father and the people, and he said, Father, forgive them. I'll pay the price. I'll take it. That's good news. Until you've been down and out, you don't understand. Good news. That's good news. And that's the proclamation of the gospel. That justification, just as if you never sinned. Just as if you never sinned. God said, when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he said, you shall be saved. What else I got to do? If I had to give you some more stuff to do, it wouldn't be good news. We sing a song called Jesus Paid It All. The people who say you can lose your salvation, you know what they sing? Jesus paid some of it. I'm sorry. You can't lose your, it's good news. Jesus paid it all. How do I know he paid it all? Because the cross showed that he was willing. The grave, the resurrection from the grave, showed that he's able. A lot of people would like to help you, but they ain't got, have you ever been broke? I mean, like broke. And you go to your brother and your brother say, man, I was just getting ready to ask you for some money. They might want to help you, but they can't. The Bible says Jesus, he can, whatever you need, he's better.
And he'll be there. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Amen. Let's move on. The resurrection proclaimed the victory. Second, verse 12. The resurrection, from the very beginning, there's always been a temptation to compromise the resurrection. I started off by telling you this. It's not a new thing. It's not a new thing. Verse 12. And it reads, "Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" Now, don't forget, Paul is speaking at the church. He's speaking to some believers, some kind of questionable folks, because people from the very beginning have always wondered, because that seems like such a narrow way. Well, it's God's way. He makes the rules. And so people were wondering, you know, is this resurrection thing even real? Do people really rise from the dead? Well, I submit to you that most of the people in the world today believe that there's life after death. I submit that to you. And how do I know that? Because you ask them if any of their loved ones have passed, when their loved ones have died. People who don't believe anything about Jesus would tell you, "Well, I believe mama is looking down on me. I believe daddy is looking down on me. I believe Uncle Joe is looking up." Okay. I just tossed that one in there for you. Amen. But they believe in life after death. They believe in life after death. So I'm not telling them anything new. I'm just trying to give them a more perfect way of understanding it. And Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus rose from the dead bodily. He rose from the dead bodily. And turn your Bibles to Acts. Acts chapter 26, verse 8. Acts chapter 26, verse 8. This is Paul speaking to King Agrippa. Look at this. He's talking to the head of state, and he's giving him the gospel. Y'all need to pray that God opens up a door where you can talk to your boss, where you can talk to your neighbor, where you can talk to the heads of states. Call your congressman. Talk to him about Jesus. Hey, you voted for him. He got to even act like he's interested. He may not be, but he got to act like it. But in Acts chapter 26, verse 8, when Paul is speaking to King Agrippa, and he says, "Agrippa, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" Now, we got people who we believe that God created the heavens and the earth. We know that God created them male and he created them female. We know that. But raising from the dead? And Paul's just challenging King Agrippa. He says, this, you understand, people worship their ancestors. They've been worshiping ancestors for centuries, y'all. And if they didn't believe that they were alive, they wouldn't be worshiping them. Amen? So since they believe that, can we take them and help them focus in, make it a little bit more narrow, and let them know that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life. And he says, and let them know gently as you can, that no man comes to the Father but by him. And I know that's an offense. I know that's an offense because of our sin nature, we don't like being told what to do. COVID-19. When the government told me we have to shut down the church, I have to stay home, that was offensive. Because of my nature, I don't like being told what to do, no more so than you like being told what to do. But then you have to come to a point where you say, okay, something's right, something's wrong. Just like I had to stay home, that's why our church is empty, because I had to come to a point where I say, okay, this is right, this is good, and I have to back off. When you're bowing down to idols that you made, things of your own creation, when somebody comes to you with the love of Jesus Christ. And they tell you, let me tell you about the man who came for you. The man who said, I will take all your sins and I will pay the price. I will pay the penalty. Just back off for a minute. It's an offense when I first hear it. But then I have to think it through because I know I'm a sinner. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, everybody knows they're a sinner. Who the people I'm talking to, you know you're a sinner. You know you don't want anybody to know what you really like. I'm with you there. I got a lot of chapters in my life that I don't want anybody to know about. And you do too. But Jesus says, I already know. And even, because don't forget, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you're adopted. Oh my goodness, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you're adopted into the family. I like that concept. Because when you have your own children, or some people say your own children, when you have your own children, you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what they're going to do. You don't want to be smart, not so smart, short, tall. You just don't know what you're getting. And so your wife tells you, don't worry about it. Trust God. Okay. And you do. I'm going to have my children. But guess what? When somebody adopts you, they already know your warts. They already know your bad stuff. They know you're ugly. I just taught them. And they take you anyway. Jesus looked at me. He looked straight through my heart. He looked through my misspent youth. He looked through my lying. He looked through my no goodness. And he said, I'll take that one. You want to know why I love him? Because he didn't have to take me. I'm saying to anybody who will listen, my Savior said, you can't get so far gone that he won't take you. You don't have so many warts that he won't take you. You don't have so many issues that he won't take you. The Apostle Paul says, we were drunkards. We were liars. We were cheaters. We were thieves. We were homosexual. He says, such were some of us. That's why I come to you with good news. Because everybody here, everybody within the sound of my voice, everybody who has named the name of Jesus Christ is an ex-something. We all got something we're trying to hide from everybody else. But thank goodness our Savior says, learn how to take off that old man and put on the new man. First, we talked about the resurrection victory proclaimed. Then we talked about the resurrection compromise, where people don't want to have to preach and teach about the resurrection because they want to get more people. And if you do that, then you're telling people who are lost, you're lying to them. Because the resurrection is indispensable to the preaching of the gospel. Either Jesus rose from the dead and you're saved, or he did not rise at all, and you are lost in your sins. Let's see what he says here, which talks about the resurrection denied. The resurrection denied. We're going to talk from verses 12 to 19, I believe is. No, yeah, 12 to 19. And it reads, the resurrection denied. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. He's saying that if Christ is not risen from the dead, understand this, you may call yourself a Christian. You may call yourself somebody who believes in Jesus Christ. You may call yourself a child of the King. But if Christ did not rise from the dead, if his lifeless body after 3 days, if he did not bodily get up out the grave, then everything that the preacher is preaching is a lie. Everything that you've been believing It's a lie. And you can't have it both ways. He says, your faith is vain. It's empty. It, when he says it's empty, it's like how would you like to go on Christmas Day? And you saw that you've been watching this beautifully wrapped up box for about a month. It's been right there underneath, and it had your name on it, and it was beautiful, and you even shook it, and you said, ooh, I think there's something good in there. I think there's something good in there. And then on Christmas Day, you open it up, and it's stuffed with paper. There's nothing there. That's Christianity without the resurrection. There's nothing there. Did Jesus ever give us any evidence that should help us not be able to deny the resurrection? We've all heard about Lazarus and how Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days, but I want you to just take a little bit closer look at Lazarus. In John chapter 11, verse 39, John chapter 11, verse 39. Now we know that Jesus took 4 days. He was 4 days to go after Mary and Martha had told him that Lazarus was sick, and he waited 4 days. Lazarus was in the grave 4 days. And then in John 11, 39, it says, Jesus came to the scene, and then Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. She's saying, after 4 days, the natural body starts to decay. After 4 days, so this was evidence for everybody that Lazarus, I learned this term when I came to Texas. I'd never heard this term used before. There was a bad accident on the job where I was at, and I said, what's the condition of the guy who was in the accident? And old boy looked at me and said, he graveyard dead. And I went, oh, okay. I understood. You know, I'm a Yankee. It takes me a little bit of time, but he said, he graveyard dead. That means Lazarus was graveyard dead. 4 days. 4 days to the point to where he was stinking. Now, Jesus is using him for an object lesson to let you know that I can take a at least partially decomposed body and I can bring it back. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And when I bring him back, after he came back, you know, he went to dinner with Jesus and the other folks. It's obvious he didn't stink anymore. Jesus cured whatever the situation was with his body that normally would have taken place, Jesus fixed it. Whatever situation you have in your life, you belong to Jesus, he goes, I'll take care of it, and I'll stick with you. And think about this. Think about this. He raised Lazarus up from the dead, gave him a new body, to where fixed his body to where there was no smell in his body. And I think somebody said, well, if Lazarus was dead for 4 days, even to the point of where he was decaying, why did he get up? Because the word of God said, Lazarus, come forth. One day you're going to shake off those grave clothes. One day the Lord's going to call your name and he's going to say, come forth. And it doesn't matter what situation your body is in. It may be composed, semi-composed, totally decomposed. But when the word of God speaks and says, come forth, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 42, he says that you will be sown in corruption. That means this body, whatever it is, people who have physical maladies, they can't walk, their arms don't work. Even people who have mental maladies, he goes, you may have to deal with that here. You may have to deal with that here. He says, but understand this. Your body is going to be sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. Ah, that's good news. I'm not talking about stuff that's maybe hope so, wish so. But no, that's good news. And I have the evidence is that Jesus had the power to get Lazarus up after 4 days, and Jesus had the power to get himself up after 3 days. The resurrection is crucial. The resurrection is critical. You can't preach the gospel without the resurrection. Verse 18. You go down through these verses. You go down through 12 through 19. And you'll read different reasons why the gospel, why the resurrection is mandatory. But I want you to work down to verse 18. Verse 18. Go with 17. He said, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. He said, wait a minute. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, not only am I not saved, and not only am I not going to heaven, but what about the people who passed before me? What about mama and daddy who believed on the name of Jesus Christ? What about my aunties and my uncles who believed on the name of Jesus Christ? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 and 14. And it reads, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He's talking about the people. He's talking about your loved ones who have already gone on to glory. He's talking about the ones who have closed their eyes for the last time. Because if Christ be not risen from the dead, what about them? Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Oh, that's good news. Oh, that's good news, y'all. Because, and that's why the resurrection is so crucial. Our justification, not only our justification, but the ones who have died before us, the ones who have gone on to glory. If Christ be not risen from the dead, they're lost. They're lost. They're utterly, totally lost. And then top this off. Top all that off with this nonsense that people say today, even in the church. That's a Greek word, nonsense. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If what I'm saying about Jesus Christ is only good for now, it's mythology. It's a lie. It's nonsense. I had a conversation with a Jewish rabbi. It's been about 2-3 years ago. And because the Lord just put it on my heart, if he's teaching one thing and I'm teaching an altogether different thing, we cannot both be right. That's nonsense. And so I proposed to him that I said, I love you enough to where I'll tell you where I think you're wrong according to scriptures. And I hope you love me enough to tell me where you think I'm wrong, according to scriptures. Don't forget, we're using the Jewish Bible. Y'all, this is important. People's eternity depend upon getting it straight. They're not getting your feelings hurt. It's temporary. The man who died, the rich man who died and went to hell, the Bible tells you that Lazarus went to heaven. He was in the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man was down in hell. And he said, Lord, just give me one more chance to go back and tell my brothers and my friends, I'm thirsty. I need, would you let Lazarus come and give me a drop of water off the tip of my finger? This is not a fairy tale. This is an account of what took place. And Father Abraham said, no, you can't go back. You can't go back. He said, there's a chasm between here and there, which you can't go back and forth. And he says, by the way, they have Moses and the prophets telling them, what makes you think they're going to believe you? So what I'm telling y'all is this. If you know somebody who has not believed on the name of Jesus Christ, this is not a chess game. This is not a, I don't even know the name of the most recent electronic esports game. I don't even know the names of them. But this is not a game. This is, folks, eternity. This is the credibility of our Savior. If he didn't rise from the dead, it's all a lie. It's all a bad joke. But if he did, in the Bible, we're going ready, get ready to go back to that. According to Scripture, he did. He did rise from the dead. And now he's making the free offer to anybody and everybody, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He's making the free offer to everybody. Come. 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 I'll take you. All you have to do is humble yourself. All you got to do is humble yourself and believe on the name of Jesus Christ. Humble yourself. We talked about the victory proclaimed. We talked about the resurrection compromised. We talked about the resurrection denied all the way up here through verse 19. That verse 19, don't let that slip by you. Don't let that slip by you. He said, if what you're preaching and if what you're teaching is only good here in America, in your house, in my house, he said, don't you know we are the most pitiable, we are the most miserable of people. We are the most miserable of people. Now I got something for you I want to tell you. I'm back up just a minute. Verse 15. This is still dealing with the issue of if he rose or if he didn't rise. Did he rise or did he not rise? In verse 15, he goes, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Now again, the resurrection is where you stand upright, bodily, bodily. Right here in the scriptures, right here in the holy scriptures of God, the Apostle Paul is saying, and if we are found false witnesses, listen to that word, witnesses, of God or Jehovah, if we are found false witnesses of Jehovah, because we have testified that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. There's a group of people out here, and they refer to themselves as the witnesses of Jehovah. Paul is, and they deny the bodily resurrection. Amen. Check it out. Go on your Google. Go on your Wikipedia. I'm not making it up. They say they believe in Jesus, but they got a Jesus who didn't rise from the dead. Not bodily. What does the Apostle Paul say? He says, they're false. If they say that Jesus did not rise from the ground bodily, from the grave, then they are false Jehovah witnesses. But I got good news for them too. Quicker than quick, all you got to do is say, I believe that Jesus Christ came. He died and he rose from the dead. Lock, stock, and barrel as body. They too shall be saved. That's why it's called good news, y'all, because it's for everybody. And no matter what your circumstance, no matter where your head's at, it's for everybody. All you got to do is change your mind as to who Jesus is. And he says, and I'll take you, and I'll clean you up. Stop trying to say, I need to clean myself up, I need to do better, No. Come just as you are. Come just as you are. And he says, and I'll take you. Okay, moving on. We're going down to verses 20 and 22. We just talked about the resurrection, those who died before us, those who were asleep. And he says that if the resurrection is not true, then those folks would be lost. And then we get down to verse 20, where we're going to repeat. We started off with the resurrection, the victory proclaimed.
We're going back to that section with resurrection, the victory proclaimed, starting with verse 20, when it says, but now, when I was reading it, when I was studying for it, it struck me. I stay up and I watch too much late night TV, and I'm finna buy several things, and each one of them only costs $19.99. And if I wait long enough, they'll give me a double one. If I just pay for the shipping, it's $19.99. But you know how they always introduce that section, don't you? But wait! But wait! See, I done told you all the doom and gloom. I've told you how people are lost. I told you how people deny the clear teaching of the resurrection. I told you how people, if it's not true, your preaching is in vain, your faith is in vain, your mama and your daddy are all lost and gone off to hell. But wait! But wait. Verse 20. But now, Paul says, I'm speaking to you in the present, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I was thinking about this whole thing about Jesus, and why didn't he just finish it all with the resurrection? Why didn't he just tie it all up? Because the Bible tells you that the last enemy to be defeated is death. And y'all, don't tell anybody death is your friend. Death is not your friend, even for very, very sick people. The Bible says death is the last enemy. So when you got very, very, very sick people, assure them that through Jesus Christ, this enemy cannot conquer you. Because when you close your eyes for the last time on this side, you will be absent from the body, present with the Lord. But I was trying to think about why just the resurrection? And it says just a small group, the first fruits rose up after the resurrection. The first fruits rose up out of the graves, signifying, they were the ones who signified that Jesus is the Christ. I was thinking back, I used to wrestle when I was high school, and for the resurrection, I considered the resurrection a shot across the bow to the devil. Because the devil all along, he was thinking, I can be like the Most High. I can be like the Most High. And I think at the resurrection, Jesus said, let me see you top this. Okay? It made me think about this guy. I don't know his name to this day. I don't know his name. I just remember he was this imposing, I believe he was like a 185-pound wrestler. Now you got to understand, I wrestled in the 98-pound weight class, so I didn't have to deal with him. But he wrestled for a school called Maslin, the Maslin Tigers. And everybody just knew him as the Hawk. They called him the Hawk because he had a nose that had been broken numerous times. And it looked like a beak, okay? But now you figure, we're all high school guys, okay? Hawk walks in looking like a grown man. 185 pounds of ripping muscle. Now, I'm okay because I'm only 9. I ain't got to face him, okay? But when he walks in the gymnasium, you hear, shh, the Hawk is in. Now, they used to say, I don't know if they still do it in wrestling, but they had a tradition back then. And whenever you pin somebody, now he's in his senior year, right? He's been wrestling 4 years. Whenever you pin somebody, they put a big old diaper pin on your sleeve, okay? He walks in glistening. He covered from head to toe with pins. And the guy's getting ready to face him, just like the devil getting ready to face Jesus. They know this boy can beat me 8 ways to Sunday. He can beat me on any given day at any given time. He don't smile. He don't talk to anybody before the match. He just walks around looking. The Hawk was every bit as bad as he thought he was. I wish I knew what happened to him after that. But I'm here to tell you,
Jesus. They said they hung him up on Calvary's cross. They said they hung him wide, stretched him wide, hung him high on Calvary's cross. In the whole world, including his disciples, everybody thought it was over. Everybody thought it was over. But that's why when I read the account of the resurrection, I get so excited. Because like I said, he could have brought this whole program to a close right there. He could have defeated Satan for the last time right there. But instead, he gave him a shot across the bow. He gave Satan a shot across the bow, and he gave the rest of the world. He gave us all another opportunity to come to Jesus and be saved. Because he was in the grave one day, 2 days, 3 days. And I told you, the hawk just sort of walked around like this. When Jesus got up out the grave, the scripture said, the folks, Paul is written in 1 Corinthians, he goes, Oh, death. You talking about death? He said, death, where's your sting? See, because people are scared of death. We got all this stuff. We going crazy because we're scared of death. Jesus said, death, where's your sting? Grave, what? You can't dig a hole deep enough to keep Jesus. Grave, where's your victory? Oh, I just want to let y'all know. This is a special day. This is a day that my Savior got up and he declared, grave has no power over him. Death has no power over him. Hell has no power over him. But he says to you and to me, come. Come. Let me adopt you into my family. Come with all your nastiness. Come with all your low downness. Come with, even though you think you're still pretty good, I want you to know you still need to come. Come. And he says, and I'll heal you. And I will give you life. That's the good news, y'all. That's the good news. I told you, I come today to give you some good news. And that good news is, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, with that being said, if there's anybody watching who today, you know you got issues, and here's the biggest issue. You think you don't have issues. You got issues. And Jesus said, I specialize in people with issues. He says, come. If you'll pray this prayer, if you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. This doesn't have to be elaborate. This is between you and God. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner in need of saving. I have come to the realization through the preached word, through your prompting, I have come to the realization that I need help. And I need help that can't be provided by men. Would you save me? And I want you to know that quicker than quick, by the time you finish that prayer, you will have been adopted into the family of God. If you want that, say that prayer. And then let somebody know. Let somebody know, somebody that you know has a relationship with Jesus Christ. Call our church. Call your mama. Call your daddy your mama been trying to get you in church for years. Call your mama up and say, Mama, I'm saved. Mama, I'm saved. And then say, thank you, Lord. And then, from this day forward, I'll call you my brother. Thank you.